Blog Talk Radio.
Rival. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio with your hosts Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Oh, man, I hope he has a new phone. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Red versus Blue Friday Night Football, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I'm Scott Atkins, team legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. Lots going on in the world today, lots of news breaking, lots of injuries that we finally got through. Michael Trent from Brandenburg, Kentucky, glad to have you back, my friend. Let's hear the sound quality.
How do we sound, my brother?
Not bad. I'll give it a solid 7. Not too shabby.
A solid 7? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we got a great show in store. Looking forward to a lot of great things, and sound more like a 8, 9, 10 as we keep rolling along now?
We'll see, as long as you talk into the microphone. What kind of phone you got now? I know Mobile App Startup from the chat room, he took care of you. What are you sitting with now? What are you using?
I'm using the Galaxy.
Okay. All right. You know, it must be just the reception and sound quality down in Brandenburg. Do they have towers there, or how do they get you signal? Maybe Mobile App in the chat room can
No. I've got the Campbell soup can. I've got all kinds of things. It's rolled through the entire room upstairs. So basically, I got somebody on the deck outside that's just holding up a antenna with aluminum foil. So I mean, he's helping me out. So is that sounding better?
This is the Red versus Blue Show, sponsored by FFToolbox.com, home of the 2012 Accuracy Challenge from FantasyPros.com. So welcome, everybody, to Red versus Blue. Thank you, the crew, the chat room here at Red versus Blue, for being here. We've got a lot to get to tonight. Farrell Elliott from the KFFSC is going to stop by for a quick visit to talk about the live event in Louisville, Kentucky, or what do you call that there, New Albany? It's my hometown. I should know. But there's a body of water there called the Ohio River, and in between the states of Indiana and Kentucky, where there's a riverboat, and it's a casino, the Horseshoe Casino. So it's a pretty cool Vegas experience for those folks that can't get out to Vegas, or for those folks that are wanting a primer 2 weeks prior to the main event draft in Las Vegas. It's a smaller stake, mid-stake league with high-stakes prizes. So, Mikey, we're going to talk about the Ravens, the Eagles, and the other team, the Seahawks, right? We're going to talk about those three teams tonight, and we're going to talk about the Dynasty waivers that I just saw come across my monitor here for the Dynasty Football World Championship. Tonight was the first night, Mike, that guys had to take a look at their roster, decide who they felt would be worthy of keeping since draft day, and IR, you know, whoever they had there, if they had Macklin, anybody on IR there that they could free up a roster spot, and then decide to who are they going to pick up in the waiver wire that may have impressed over this short period of time. So it's a big night for the Dynasty World Championship, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's a time to take advantage of who you want to dump and who you want to might pick up, because there's a lot of things that are going on right now, especially in camp with the injuries. Like you said, we're getting ready to touch on the Ravens injuries, the Eagles injuries. You know, so this is a time to jump on, get on players like a Shianco. I mean, Vasante. I mean, is he worth picking up? I don't know. I mean, did he go? And how much did he go for? You know, those are different things that, you know, that's kind of fun to touch on.
Good call, Mike. You're absolutely right. So let's we're going to jump right into that. And again, we've got all the player news that's been happening on FF Toolbox that you've obviously checked out. In a couple of hours, the Mock Draft World Championship is going to begin. So just keep checking FF Toolbox. You can be one of the first entries there into the Mock Draft World Championship. First of its kind. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's the buzz of the industry out there. I've heard it discussed everywhere, from ESPN to Roto experts to SiriusXM. Just about everywhere I'm hearing them talk about Roto Bowl or the Mock Draft World Championship. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But let's dig right into these Dynasty World Championship waivers real quick. Joker's Wild drops Nile Davis, which is a very interesting player, for Ed Dixon. Ed Dixon goes for $169 of the $1,000 bid budget. That's very interesting, that $169 on Ed Dixon, Mike. We're going to talk about Baltimore's tight end situation here in a little bit. Money earning Mount Vernon picks up Kimbrell Tompkins, the New England wide receiver, for $52. Didn't have to drop anybody there. Tompkins is an interesting situation, Mike. People are looking for what the Patriots are going to do now that, you know, Hernandez is gone, and obviously you have the injury to Gronkowski. That is bringing a lot of people to take a look at wide receiver, you know, like a Kimbrell Hopkins. And I don't know if you even know that name, Mike, but they said the training camp, the practice that they had, was a coming-out party for him. He was an undrafted free agent, and he just, like, just broke down the left sideline. He gauged the ball in the air, and it was a roar of recognition from the crowd. He made a diving touchdown catch that drew the thousands of fans to their feet. So sometimes it's one player or here or there in training camps that causes you to wake up and look at a guy that you never looked at before.
Yeah, well, that's true. And but you have to remember, it's early in training camp. There's a lot of different things that can happen. Just like last year about this time, we were talking about David Wilson starting every week constantly and just being the guy. So, yeah, it's hard to tell right now.
Yeah, so, and again, these are the strategy. The reason why we've wanted to put this into play is because it is all about dynasty. Can you use patience? Can you put your patience with your pocketbook and your wallet? You're sitting on $1,000, and a lot of times you only have so many weeks to use that. Well, in the Dynasty World Championship, you have the entire preseason and the entire training camps here now, the rest of training camps, to use that bidding dollars. It's a very unique concept, Mike, and I just wanted to see what kind of patience people could have. Mercedes Lewis went for $32. Doug Baldwin went for $32. Jeremy Curley was dropped. Julian Edelman for $31. Philip Rivers, who had went undrafted in Dynasty 1, went for $15. Carson Palmer for $7. Julius Thomas for $5. Vance McDonald, these are names, $5. And then you have a couple of other ones. So that's League One. Again, the big acquisition there, Mike, is Ed Dixon. Let's go ahead and talk about well, I want to save Ed Dixon because Farrell is going to help us talk about Ed Dixon and the Ravens. So I don't want to jump the gun there and give the listeners too much of the same information back-to-back, if you know what I'm saying. So I want to keep it rolling with the next league. But, again, it looked like Kimbrell Tompkins for $52 was quite an investment for a player that we've only seen a catch in training camp and a roaring ovation from the crowd, Mike.
Well, I think that, $52?
What is wrong with your phone, man? This is supposed to be a new Samsung that our buddy sent you. What is going on with that phone, man? Every time you talk,
Are you serious? You can hear me.
Everybody can hear you, man. It's like a screeching on a chalkboard when you just you're just either too loud into your phone and your speakers can't handle it. Modern technology can't handle your voice. That's the problem. Are you using the old phone? Because people are now believing that you're using the old phone. I've got a mobile app. I've got a mobile expert in the chat room tonight, and he's saying that you're using your old phone.
Scott, if you would quit bumping your gums for a bit, maybe. Now, how does that sound?
That sounds a lot better. I like that.
Exactly.
Let's try to remain calm.
Exactly. But you calm down, and we'll get through this just fine. What I'm getting ready to say is the money that's invested in some of these players isn't, you know, it might seem like a whole lot, but it's really not. I mean, $52 here, $40 there. The Ed Dixon, I mean, that's solid. Like you said, we're going to touch on that here in a bit. Am I coming across loud and clear?
You're doing fine.
Absolutely. That's my brother. But anyway, a lot of these are, you know, they're pretty much mid-level picks is what I would say. They're just flyers, as you would like to say. And you got to take that chance on a flyer in training camp, and you never know. You're gonna catch lightning in a bottle every once in a while.
I can guarantee you this. If people keep spending the money like I'm seeing spent tonight, they're going to run out. Remedial Geeks in the chat room says Mike needs to keep the phone away from inside his mouth, okay? So don't eat the phone. Eat You Alive spends $184 on Ed Dixon in number two. That's another big bid there, Mike. We saw Ed Dixon go in the first league for what? What was it? Do you remember? It was 169. So this is a bigger bid. 184 now for Ed Dixon. So the price keeps going up, and people are saying, hey, they're panicking a little bit. They need to get a tight end. So we will talk about him. Mercedes Lewis, $81. Kenbrell Tompkins, there he is again, for $66. So a little bit more, and that's from Invictus Dynasty Soundtrack takes him for $66. Eat You Alive takes Daniel Thomas for $57. Remedial Geeks, Devon Bess, he's in the chat room for $51. Oh, he's also took Mercedes Lewis for $81. Eat You Alive, Doug Baldwin for $25. Eat You Alive, Mike James for $25. These guys are spending money like it's running out of style. I see six bids from Eat You Alive, and the money is going to run out. Peyton Hillis for $3, Edelman for $21. Yeah, Mike, this money's not going to last that long. You got to make it last all year.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it. It's going to be hard to make it last. It's just... it's how you invest it, and it's how you put it into which player you want. I mean, how bad do you want that player for $50, $40, or $30 even? Not to mention $170 for Ed Dixon. But if you have a solid foundation around your team, and there may be a reason to spend the $170 for Dixon and be done with it for the next month or so.
Well, it appears that the two hot popular names this week are Ed Dixon, the undrafted players, Ed Dixon and Kenbrell Tompkins, and that looks like it's continuing across all these leagues as I look at them. So we're looking at League 3 here now. Ed Dixon for $123, a little bit less. Jacoby Jones from 4Sport bids $112 on him. Taco Hunters takes Roy Helu for $33. Taco Hunters takes Danielle Thomas for $23. Chris Thompson for $23, and Kenbrell Tompkins in this league only goes for $15. Now, that's a bid I can live with. I do see Hernandez being dropped this week. Jordan Reed was even dropped in the Dynasty League 3. So, you draft him hoping that you can hang on. You really can't hang on because it's so early in the process. You haven't had enough time to see it. And so I can understand you. There's a little bit of news and a little bit of buzz out on Tompkins, and so he takes the shot. But see, he only spent $15. That's Brown Dogs. That's Michael Brown. It's a very good bid. That's the type of money I'm thinking about spending. $123 for Dixon. That's just a lot of money. Now, here we go. League 4, Mike. Julius Thomas was taken for $113. Fred Davis for $53. I can't believe Fred Davis was a free agent. Fred Davis.
Yeah.
Ed Dixon again for $48, Edelman for $40, Kenbrell Tompkins for $35 to redshirt the seniors too. Again, all those, and there's a Damaris Johnson from Philadelphia, $31. So those bids are a little bit more in line, but the Julius Thomas bid for a 113, that is a little surprising. Here we are, League 5. Golden Tate was a free agent, and he went for how much, Mike? What do you guess?
I would say he went for about $78.
Golden Tate went for $177. Now, here would have been a problem for me. If I were in this league and I saw Golden Tate was on the free agency, I would have flipped my lid and I would have said, oh, my God, I'm going to run out of money now. I might as well just go ahead and do it. And I would have probably put a lot of money on the line there for Golden Tate. So I'm glad I wasn't in that league. Andre Roberts for $8, Dustin Keller for $18. All of those bids look fairly in line. Joy Cabell for $1. That's a good pick for $1. I like that.
Well, absolutely, Scott. And what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing these bids and everything is that you know, every league has a different makeup. And like I said, every team has a different makeup. So, you know, when we're talking about these teams bidding for so much amount of dollars on so much or on a certain player, it's because they have a weakness at that spot, and that's why they're going ahead, bidding hard, getting that player. They might not bid again for the next month.
Yeah. In League 6, Golden Tate for $344. Nick Toon for $222. And Kimbrell Tompkins for $103. Those players were taken by the exact same player, Mike. He is going to have about, maybe $350 left to spend the entire year. So very interesting to see that.
Yeah, that's almost too ballsy in my opinion. I mean, I think it's really neat that he goes out and tries to do what he can with those type of moves. But let's face it, this is August 2nd, and to have, you know, less than a third of your budget left throughout the entire year, I wouldn't agree with that.
Well, we finished up through the first six leagues. We're going to do the next six leagues here in a little bit. Let me take a caller before we get to Farrell Elliott. 864, you're on the air with Red versus Blue. What do you got? 864, you're on the air. Are you stage fright?
Are you scared?
Right, we'll put 864 on hold, and we will bring in our guest of this evening, Farrell Elliott from the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. What's up, my brother?
Gentlemen, how are you tonight? Mike Trent, is that you?
That is me. Can you hear me loud and clear?
You know, Scott, he said that may be too ballsy for me. There's nothing in this world too ballsy for one Michael Trent. I believe that man is an imposter and should be investigated before we go any further with the show. But if that is Mike Trent, it's wonderful talking to you guys. Happy August. Happy fantasy football season.
Hey, Farrell, I appreciate it. And I did get your voicemail the other day, and I appreciate you keeping in touch. And looking forward to a great year, man.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Well, this is Farrell Elliott on the air tonight. We're very honored to have Farrell on from the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, and it's a Midwest event like none other. For years, Mike and I have traveled up to Chicago and went up to the NFFC drafts, but when you are able to do what you've done, Farrell, talk a little bit about why you got into it, what you saw in the space, and what this thing has become is truly a practice grounds for not only the casual fans that live in the area, but they're coming from all over to play in your event every year.
Yes, Scott, they have. I got into the business when I saw what was going on in Las Vegas, and I got a feel when I started with the World Championship of Fantasy Football in Las Vegas, and it's a huge event with a little bit of pomp to it, but not a lot of camaraderie amongst the players. And what the vibe that I wanted to create was to bring the Las Vegas experience here, but to make it more fun and to make the league about the players. You know, we've had a situation now in our 11th season where we have some recognizable name brands amongst the players. And I think the players that play here are the stars of the event. And that's what makes our event so unique and special. We want the guys to come out, sort of stake their claim to not only be the Kentucky State champion, but be recognized as one of the best fantasy football players in the world. We believe that the season, the live season, starts in Kentucky, concludes in Las Vegas. As we know, guys, especially with the red and blue, fantasy football is all year round. So these are the two big weekends for us, August 23rd through 25th at the Horseshoe Casino, and then as we move on to Las Vegas the weekend after Labor Day.
And I want to say that Mike Trent, I'm gonna lead this off. Mike Trent is our resident kind of pro here. He has the best finish between the both of us, red and blue here. Blue finished out on top, and he got himself a top five. Didn't you get a top five, Mike, in a trip to Vegas?
Yeah, you know, that was pretty special. You know, it was fun drafting next to one of the best, Kimura. I mean, mm-hmm. How good does that get? You know, that year that we won, finished in third overall. Like, you know, I mean, that's awesome. Last year we didn't do so well, but you know, the draft there at the Horseshoe. I mean, it's a perfect venue, and Farrell, you guys do a great job, and continue to fill it. Get everybody from all across the nation. I mean, we're talking Les from St. Louis, the guys from Wisconsin, you know, from Florida. I mean, they come from all over, Farrell. Do you realize the bringing that you get? I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. You know, what we've done is to present at the $300 buy-in level an opportunity where guys can get to the Horseshoe and draft as many as seven or eight times, three times in our main event, and then a variety of ancillary leagues such as Draft Masters, auctions, similar to what you guys were talking about when I joined you. And, you know, you can basically come in and draft the entire weekend. Our biggest event is, we refer to as the big payback, is a $1,000 entry fee, and it works within a 12-team division. Scott, I think you've ponied up for that one this year, and that'll be great to have you in that league. And it's just a situation where you can come and play for about what – you can play everything, including the big payback, for about what 1.5 times the buy-in in Las Vegas is. And that's a good feeling because I've learned that guys like to draft. Of course, we can't all afford that every league we want to draft in. To sign up for $1,700. The FFWC has done a great job of providing drafters that come to Las Vegas with a number of different price points to get into leagues. And what we've done in Kentucky is start at $300, your second team is $250, and we're bringing you a product at that price that I think you'll be proud of.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I mean, that's awesome. That big payback. You know, that's a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, Scott was telling me about it. How's the big payback work? Is it pretty much the same deal as a main event?
No, it works a little different, Mike, in that it's an 11-week regular season, best record in most points at the end of 11 weeks, earn some money. The top six teams after 11 weeks move on in the playoffs with a playoff average based on the first 11. So what you're looking at is a situation where basically, the season starts over in week 12. You're seeded with your average, but they're usually, as you guys are well aware, not more than 20 points difference between the first and the sixth team, and the season starts over. We got a 5-week sprint to the championship and the main prize there.
Good deal.
Farrell Elliott from the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Full disclosure, I am going to participate this year. I've been participating for a long time. Mike is a participant and actually has a top five finish in 2011. Last year, I don't know what happened. I had a great team and absolutely lost faith in Russell Wilson after about 6 or 7 weeks. Had I kept Russell Wilson, the team that I had was absolutely dominant. It was a great team with Richardson and Ridley and Bush and Randall Cobb and A.J. Green and Julio Jones. I had everybody you could think of except a quarterback, and that was the downfall. Fell apart in the very last couple of weeks. I had a team that ran through the division, and then it just fell apart. That's kind of what happens sometimes, but, you know, you can pin it on one decision or you can pin it on, you know, lots of them, so it doesn't matter. It's a good event. Let's talk about you said it's an 11-week season in the big payback, and I'm reminded of that now that you say that. It's very important then, in my mind, to make sure that you are paying attention to the bye weeks, because every single week is important. A lot of leagues, if it's total points or the longer season, you can kind of brush aside bye weeks. But in an 11-week season where head-to-head is important, if you take a Drew Brees, Farrell, are you worried about backing him up, or are you at least thinking about his backup in the draft, or are you leaving the draft table with just Drew Brees?
I'm leaving with just Drew Brees because you certainly cannot replace that player. So I would take Drew Brees and then wait very, very late in the draft. Perhaps a talented quarterback would fall to me late. If that quarterback's gone off the board, I'm going to go into the season probably with one quarterback. Now, guys, I will point out to you that in our main event, it's an 11-week regular season, but everyone plays in our main event through week 13. Weeks 12 and 13 are our divisional championships, and if you are not one of the four teams in the divisional championship, you'll continue to play, earn points, and try to obtain one of our wild card bids into the championship playoffs, which are weeks 14, 15, and 16. And the NFL threw us a very, very interesting curveball with the bye week in week 12 this year. And so as you go into divisional championships, I think that's one of the most interesting choices that you've got to make, guys, is where do you put those bye week players from week 12 in your draft? Well, do you ignore week 12, or do you grade that player a bit less?
And Henry Muto in the chat room, week 12 byes suck. I think the teams in question there are the Bengals, the Hawks. Who else we got there, Farrell? The Bengals and the Hawks, I know, are two of the teams, right? Bye weeks.
I know the Bengals, and that's about the only
Buffalo,
one.
Buffalo and Philly. Yeah, so you're losing. I mean, C.J. Spiller is affected. A.J. Green is affected. Mike, you're going to draft in the Kentucky KFFSC, and the week 12 is very important because if you make it into that top four, you're playing a money game, in essence, in week 12. I do like that you said that everybody plays on Thanksgiving. I love that. So, Mike, what do you do? How do you let C.J. Spiller fall then, and you go ahead and take a Trent Richardson or a Calvin Johnson, and you push that problem onto somebody else because the money week is pretty important?
You know, it is very important, but at the time I'm drafting, I'm not going to rely on week 12. I'm really not, Scott. And it might bite me in the you know what, but I'm not going to rely on week 12. I'm just going to sit there and draft and just go about my business and hope that everything falls in line. And you know, that might sound stupid.
No, it doesn't sound stupid. I can't wait to evaluate the ADP, Farrell. If there's any way that we can, you know, get that loaded in and take a look. I'm really fascinated to see what happens with the ADP in the difference between this type of contest and one that doesn't put an added emphasis in week 12. So I'm really fascinated to see what happens there if people do drop.
Well, and gentlemen, you know, we've talked about it across fantasy football. Do you try to come up and do you adjust your rules for week 12? And you know, we've never in the Kentucky League, we've never tried to dumb anything down for our players. We leave a lot of things that they're going to have to consider. But the fact that we do have a very inclusive wild card system in our league, if a poor performance in week 12 were to be a problem, perhaps that team moves into our playoffs as a wild card team and then can regain it with a full squad. But, yes, it is certainly a problem. Our rules require you to start three receivers, so it's very interesting that you bring up A.J. Green because obviously he would be your number one receiver if he's on your roster, and I would love to have him in week 12 when I'm in the first round of the divisional playoffs.
And it's not unheard of to see a team start McCoy and A.J. Green, but in that, you know, it might happen. So you do have a wild card system, so if you do lose week 12, there's a chance you could still get into the playoffs on points. Is that correct?
That's right. When the automatic bids, which are the division champion, the team with the best record through week 11, and the team with the most points through week 11, when they are all totaled and placed in the playoffs, we will then take our number of divisions times two, and those playoff spots will be allocated to the remaining teams with the most fantasy points through the 13 weeks.
Good deal. Okay. Well, we love the wild cards here at Red vs. Blue. Farrell Elliott from the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship is with us. We talk a little bit of third-round reversal here at the KFFSC, and I am always the type, Farrell, that I like to negate third-round reversal. I love the fact, and what I do, and I haven't mentioned this to the listeners yet, but when you sit down at a KFFSC table, the bidding action begins, and it's probably the most exciting thing in all of fantasy sports. Yep. And I'm just going to tell you, you sit down at a table in Kentucky or in the Kentucky Championship, and the bidding war begins for the draft slots. Talk about it, Farrell.
Yes, we're supposed to get all the teams on their feet and form a circle. We have an auction with the $1,000 fantasy dollars that you start your season with. And you're going to auction the draft spots. We're not going to assign a draft slot to you. You're going to have to decide where you want to draft. So if you want Adrian Peterson, and he's the consensus number one pick this year, if you want Doug Martin at number two, you'll have the opportunity to get that player by putting your money where your draft pick is and taking that one or two spot at the table after you win it. And that can... not only is that important in the first round, guys, but as you well know, ADP is a snakes through the draft. You position yourself in a chair that you think you're going to have the best players from each round that you like, and it is a great thing. We did a survey of our participants just to see, you know, how many people liked it. We knew it was quite popular, and the survey, I quit counting after the first 50 because they were all saying, keep this, this is the best thing. So the fun with us starts, guys, even before you start picking players.
Yeah, you know, I want to jump in real quick, Farrell, and that is a ball. I mean, it doesn't take 5 minutes, but it is so much fun. I mean, just the auctioning of – how bad do you want that first pick? And, you know, we've seen $750 of your $1,000 has been bid on that first pick. And, you know, I mean, that makes it even more fun because you know that guy that's got that first pick only has $250 or $300 to deal with. So it's a lot of fun.
He's got to make it through the season and make very, very careful free agent acquisitions through the season. He better be a good judge of talent and bid for his players before they have a breakout game.
Absolutely.
Farrell Elliott joins us tonight from the KFFSC. Let's talk some fantasy because Farrell is a high-stakes player. We want to pick his brain a little bit. Farrell, you saw that Jeremy Maclin torn ACL. It's the second of his career. We talked about it with Chris Kuhlman from BFD Fantasy this past Wednesday night. Everybody's talking maybe Riley Cooper steps in. You've got Jason Avant, kind of the steady guy, but never does much, you know, with touchdowns. DeSean Jackson, what do you see here? What are you thinking is going to happen with this offense?
You know, I'm very anxious to look at this team during the preseason, watch their preseason game. There's several teams I want to watch, but none more than the Eagles. But, guys, I've done a lot of personal business in my time in the football industry with the new general manager at Philadelphia, a fellow named Tom Gamble. He was in pro personnel at the San Francisco 49ers and played a big, big role in building that very successful franchise over the last couple years. And what I believe about this position is that the player that we're going to see be productive in the wide receiver position in Philadelphia may not even be on the roster right now. I believe that Gamble is combing the other rosters. He's going to look at wide receivers that, because of age or attrition of talent and a situation of guys that they just may not have room for either a veteran or a promising young player, I believe we'll see one or two wide receivers join the Eagles from the waiver wire or from the late round draft picks and move into that position. I don't think we know who that receiver is yet. He may not even be on the roster.
Yeah, we have several options there. You have, we said Riley Cooper, Avant. Brent Celek hasn't been much to speak of. I do like this Zach Ertz, the rookie tight end. He looks like a 6'5 power forward out there when he's posting up in the paint, and these 5'10 corners can't cover him. His ADP in 1 week's time went from 21.8 up to 18.6, so that's a three-round bump. That's pretty significant. DeSean Jackson's ADP in the high stakes world, the FFWC ADP went from 8.6 to 7.5, so he saw a bump. And there's a guy named Damaris Johnson that went undrafted in the most recent draft and go through 26 rounds. And there was a story today, Farrell, that he was uncoverable in camp. I don't know what do you make of a story that says he's uncoverable in camp.
It probably means that you have very poor defensive backs, but it also could mean that you've got a very good player that's working hard to be noticed in camp. A lot of these young guys, they see their name at the end of the depth chart. They get very few reps, and when they do play, with the reps they get after standing around all day, they can, in fact, be uncoverable. But as you guys know, it's very difficult to be uncoverable through an entire game. But I had one of my clients is playing the Minnesota Vikings this year. He is a young guy at the end of the depth chart, but the coach pulled him aside and said, "You have a PhD in defense." He said, "What do you mean, coach?" He said, "Well, you're poor, hungry, and determined." And that's that's when a lot of players are when they're in camp. Now let's see if Johnson or any other player hits the wall. And that's what happens to a lot of rookie players. A lot of players that get limited reps, as their reps increase, they hit the wall, and you don't see that kind of production. I think of a player, guys. Why I was talking about what Gamble might do, I think of a player that emerged last year in Minnesota. And became a week-to-week possible fantasy start at the end of the year at the receiver position was Jarius Wright. And that's the kind of player that I think we're going to see emerge in Philadelphia. And those were very modest bumps in your drafts. I think fantasy players are beginning to recognize that when you take a significant contributor like Jeremy Maclin off a roster, that all players suffer. It doesn't necessarily mean that the other player's game is going to get that much better because Macklin's going to be very, very tough there to replace.
Well, Farrell, let me ask you. You know, you put a lot of time and energy into the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, and it's like I said, it's well run. I mean, it's one of the best in the Midwest. When you, how many leagues do you draft, say, in Las Vegas? Because I know I saw you out there last year and enjoyed seeing you, so it's kind of fun for you to get away and do your own draft. I mean, how many leagues?
I played more last year than I ever had before, Mike, and I had some of the worst results that I had ever had. But I've always played generally with partners because I get so busy towards the end of the year with all my obligations that having a partner to bounce some things off of is always great fun. This year, a couple of guys that I normally play with can't make the trip. I've got to leave, sadly, before kickoff Sunday. I've got to leave Las Vegas. So it's a situation where this year I'll play a couple teams and I'll hope for a good result, and I better make it count because those are the only teams that I'll be playing this year. But it is a wonderful experience in Las Vegas. That's one of the reasons that instead of giving prize money to our players that at a $300 entry fee, I wanted to provide them more than an additional $500 or $600 to $1,000 in dollar winnings. We incorporated the first five finishers, as you were, Mike, in 2012. To have a bid to play in Las Vegas. I wanted everyone that played in our league to go out there and have that experience because it not only is it a great experience, I think some of the best fantasy players in the country play in the KFFSC, and I'm hoping that one of them will take our $300 entry, win an entry to Las Vegas, and then come back with a very significant prize.
It was almost Mike and Rachel, too. I thought it was fate for you guys, Mike. In 2011, I said, my buddy from Brandenburg, the Kentucky fan, is going to win the Kentucky State Championship and finally get his credibility. And you did, my man. You got a lot of props and a lot of stripes that day when you took that that title in the KFFSC.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Farrell and what he's saying about, just if you finish in that top five, just to go ahead and make it to that next level. It's almost like being called up to the major leagues. It's like, you know, it's the neatest world. I mean, it really is. And and we were just so pumped up. And so, you know, why not? You have to do that. You have to get into this league. If you're not doing it, if you're listening and you haven't done it, you got to do it, man. I mean, it's such a great price point. I mean, you have to do it. I'm not being a salesman because I'm not a real good salesman.
But no, you're not.
What the experience that I went through.
You're a great endorser, brother. I appreciate it so much. Beaming from ear to ear. What a smile I have.
Yeah, we just got an email from Joey Brown Farrell, and Joey Brown says he can't make it to Louisville, but he is signing up for the 21st draft. He said he just signed up for the 21st draft.
Yeah, that's our first online activity that we've ever had for the main event. We decided to open it up with online drafting for the main event this year, and we filled our first 12-team division. It's going to go off August 21st at 9:30. P.M. Eastern Time. We've got a good mix of players in there, some that have played in the league before, but most of the guys that are like Joey can't get away to Louisville that weekend or are coming from a distance. I'm going to keep working on Joey to see what I can do to get him over here, just maybe for the Sunday. But I really enjoy speaking with him this week. He seems like quite a player. I believe he finished 7th in the Football Guys Championship last year, which was quite an accomplishment.
Hey, Farrell, if you could real quick talk about expanding to Cincinnati. I mean, that's a pretty cool deal.
Thanks for bringing that up, brother. Yes, we are doing that. I've got some great help in the league this year, and one of the gentlemen that's helping with me is a fellow named Dan Claskins, and he asked that we expand to Cincinnati, and off we went to take that step. And, you know, guys, when you're building something from the start, it's slow going at times. We hope to have 3 live divisions playing in Cincinnati by draft day. But whatever we have, we're going to be proud of it and glad that the guys are coming out and experiencing what it is to play in the KFFSC. It helps that our host for the draft, the Horseshoe Casino, now has a property on the Ohio side of the river in downtown Cincinnati, and that's where our draft will be. It'll be August 18th at noon.
Very nice. Farrell Elliott from the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. We're going to finish up here with a couple more injuries and get Farrell's take from his high-stakes point of view. Farrell is an accomplished high-stakes player here. The Ravens suffered a big injury with Dennis Pitta, and from all accounts, everything I've heard, Farrell, that Joe Flacco was absolutely devastated. He would not talk to anybody. He was just they were very close. Big part of, similar like to Kevin Ware, you remember when the Louisville team had all that trauma going on and they bonded together. Do you see that type of thing happening with this team, or is this just too big of an injury to overcome?
No, Ed Dixon will move into that position, and he is just a beat behind Pitta, probably not as good a catcher, probably a bit more athletic. Pitta just has a great knack of making that catch, making that difficult catch and making them in traffic. And he did have that special bond with Flacco, and, you know, Flacco will just have to take a deep breath and realize that the rest of the roster is deep with players at other positions that will contribute. But it is a tremendous loss because from a fantasy football perspective, because that was a player that I was targeting in the draft and I've always liked. Initially, when both players came in the league, they came in the same year, I thought Dixon would be the bigger contributor, and at first he was, but Pitta came in and did a very impressive job. So, you know, at that tight end position, I think there's plenty of time for this team to coalesce amongst other players and move forward. So I like Dixon in this position, although he has had some injury issues as well.
We have Flacco slated for 3,800 yards, 26 touchdowns, trying to spread that out a little bit. Torrey Smith did move up in the draft just a little bit, not too much, because I think Torrey Smith is just what he is. He's Torrey Smith, a deep ball, up from 6'3 to 5'3, so he moved up one round. Flacco still in the 12th, Dixon in the 15th, Tannen Dawson in the 19th, Jacoby Jones in the 19th, and Shanko, surprisingly enough, this was on Tuesday night, went undrafted. So
maybe they're just kind of getting a little lazy there, you know, in those 99 leagues, and they're not scrolling all the way down to the alphabetical list. They're just looking in the ADP, and sometimes that can burn you. So,
Scott, I think Spence, they did. Yeah. I think Shanko's I think Shanko's days as a producer for fantasy football are behind you.
Yeah, they're talking about maybe just a red zone target. And so when we were working on the projections of the other day, we said, what is he going to do? Well, 20 catches doesn't sound unreasonable. You know, you got to put some of those catches somewhere that Pitta was going to catch. Shanko maybe picks up 20 of those. They like that Furstenberg kid, the rookie tight end, maybe with 10 or 12 catches there. So, you know, I think they will pick up a little bit of slack. But Flacco, obviously devastated by that loss. It's his good friend in Dennis Pitta. And the last injury, very huge. Percy Harvin, the big acquisition for Seattle Farrell. Everybody thought that was going to be a real difference maker for that dynamic offense as it was already. What do you see here in the Seattle situation? Do you see anybody emerging there?
I would guess that in your no is my answer early on. I don't. This player is irreplaceable in this offense, and there's nothing they can do about this except go back to the drawing board and come out with a team that's going to look much different in their attack than what they had hoped for with Harvin on the roster. I would imagine with your jump in ADP of all the players from these teams that lost players, I would say the biggest jump probably went to Golden Tate.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. There's a lot of us, obviously by communicating on Twitter, you kind of get to interact with like-minded people, and there is a growing sentiment that Golden Tate, here's another thing I'll tell you. It's not just me. Okay, I talked to Ian, right, and Ian is the president or the CEO of a full-time fantasy here. He's also the number 4 ranked player in the world, and I think sometimes, Farrell, these guys up at the very top, they're ranked that way for a reason, because sometimes, like yourself, you got some inside connections every once in a while. You pick up the phone, you talk to somebody maybe close to an organization, and you get something that a lot of people don't. And I think we all take that for granted when we get to talk to people like you and Ian and sometimes those tips. But everybody that Ian's been talking to in near the organization says that the light bulb has finally went on for Golden Tate, that 95 catches from the Notre Dame junior season, the 1,500 yards and the 15 touchdowns or whatever it was, that the light bulb is finally turned on for him, and he is just making play after play for this team. We saw the ADP from one draft to the next go from the 20th round to the 13th. But if he can put up a solid season, with 65 catches or so, he moves into a top 25 wide receiver. That puts him in the 8th round, Farrell. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, I think it's possible, and I think you'll get good value for that player in that round. I think you'll get very, very valuable performance. I don't think he would have the numbers that Reggie Wayne had last year, but he may be a very similar value, because I believe that when it was all said and done last year, Reggie Wayne was going in the 7th round, and teams that took him, that took them a long way towards winning. I think Golden Tate will have a roster spot on a lot of winning fantasy teams this year.
Mike Trent, final words for Farrell.
Real quick, before you leave, Farrell, I know this is a pass happy league, but don't you think that this injury with Percy Harvin, wouldn't that help Marshawn Lynch owners?
Guys, I guess I'm just too much of a football purist to say that losing Harvin helped anyone on the offense. It would help Lynch get more touches. But Harvin put Lynch in better position to score and be successful. So it doesn't help the player. It just makes the player different. And when they go back to redirect the offense around the new mix of players, it'll be done with leaning very heavily on Lynch and Tate. But they just won't be as good without Harvin.
Marshawn Lynch didn't move hardly much at all in the draft. Russell Wilson did go down a full 3 rounds in the draft from the 7-10 range to the 10-10 range. We at Toolbox moved him from 6 to 9. due to this, and we were really looking for a real big breakout for Russell Wilson with the addition of Percy Harvin. Sidney Rice, mm-hmm. again, the Switzerland stuff's going on, so Zach Miller's the only other option there that may.
Oh,
I had a feeling his stock is going to rise a little bit, but he really doesn't have much left in the tank, especially with those injuries. So, Farrell, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it, and look, best of luck to you at the KFFSC, and the website that everybody can find you?
KFFSC.com. Follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, and like us on Facebook, and check us out. Come meet Scott Atkins, Mike Trent, and over 200 other great fantasy players the 23rd through the 25th at the Horseshoe in Southern Indiana.
We'll be there, man. Farrell, talk to you soon, man.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Can't wait, Farrell.
Thank you, Mike.
Man, oh, man. Farrell here from Kentucky, Fantasy Football State Championship, an agent, sports agent, been in the business for a long time, Mike, and it's always fun to have him on, and I love the experience of the draft. He does a great job of making you feel like you're in Vegas the whole time you're there with the Louisville cheer squad. They come in and do all the draft picks and everything, and just he mentioned one thing, camaraderie, and I have to admit that we get it in Vegas, but it's a little more comfortable and relaxed, and I don't know why that is. I think it's osmosis from Farrell.
Yeah, I mean Farrell's a perfect PR guy, and he knows how to delegate, so to speak, and he just grabs everybody. But the one thing I'll never forget about Farrell over the course of the few years I've been doing this is.
Yeah.
He'll come and shake your hand or give you a fist bump to every single person that's involved in that draft. And that's pretty awesome.
Got some wild hair, but I love it. Yeah, and definitely the radio show, a lot of fun there too. So, Mike, I want to finish on the Golden Tate subject real quick now that we're segueing over back onto the injuries. And we've got some dynasty waivers to finish off. Golden Tate, there's five words I'm going to give you. It's talent, plus opportunity, plus pedigree, plus contract year, dude. Hashtag stars align for this guy. It's going to be a pretty nice year for Golden Tate, especially if what I'm hearing inside the organization, and again, look, I don't have contacts. I don't have connections. You know, I know a couple of people that do, and they're ranked at the top of the fantasy player leaderboard year after year after year. I have to believe that some of those connections that they have are pretty legit, right? Because I don't know, you have to be right on certain players, and I think some of those guys have some connections, Mike, and I think they're right about Golden Tate. If the light bulb is going on, he's a blessed. Notre Dame was blessed to have Floyd and Tate on that team. Do you remember how good they were in college? I think consistency got in the way with him. He wasn't a superstar out of the gate like some people predicted. But I think this year, the stars are aligned, Mike.
Well, you know what? I kind of agree, and I kind of don't. I sent you a trade offer just now in Hyper 2. I think Golden Tate's going to have a fine year. But I will say this. I do see a, let's just say, two quarterbacks that aren't going to do as well this year as they did last year. I don't see Russell Wilson doing as well. I don't see RG3 doing as well. I see Andrew Luck having a humongous year this year because there's going to be other opportunities for him. Those two, Wilson and RG3, I'm not sure.
I'm a big fan of Russell Wilson. The touch that he put on the ball, and if you look at his split from the first part of the season to the second, it was like they let him go. They let him go. They opened up the offense, and he was able to excel in that. So don't discount Russell Wilson. He's a definite top 10 quarterback in this year's fantasy draft. The Andrew Luck situation, he's a very talented quarterback. But again, when you have a new offensive coordinator come in Pep Hamilton, and you just had the luxury, Mike, and I'm going to say it this way, Bruce Arians is a luxury for an offensive coordinator, you know, offensive coordinator for a quarterback to have. With him gone, it's not going to be the easy road that Andrew Luck had. He's still going to throw the ball down the field. He's still going to be vertical. They're going to do a lot more short stuff, a lot more dinks and dunks, try to keep the chains moving with a little bit safer offense. So you have to expect it. And again, I think the Colts are going to be behind in a lot of games, and I think they're going to throw the playbook out the window and say, Luck, win this game for us, baby. And I think he's going to rack up a lot of fourth quarter points throughout the season. So I think he's still a solid top 10 quarterback, but I just tempered my expectations a little bit. But he has the ability, Mike. Andrew Luck has the ability, God-given ability as a quarterback, to be the number one quarterback in the league. And I'm excited to watch him grow.
Yeah.
So,
he could, when we're talking about Wilson, RG3, and Luck, I honestly believe Luck is going to, he's going to far and away get the most fantasy points, in my opinion, this year.
We are taking a look back at some of the fantasy waivers for the Dynasty World Championship. Golden Tate going for 344. We talked about that league in League 6. League 7, Kembrell Tompkins went for $200 in League 7 to Ragnar's Raiders. That's a hefty bid. Ed Dixon, the next highest bid at $22. Nobody else was looking to spend that much money on Kembrell Hopkins. But, hey, if you like a guy, you can't fault anybody for going to get the guy. That's the beauty of blind bidding. You really never know what to spend, and you're just speculating what people are going to spend. Roy Helu in League 8 went for 81, Ed Dixon for 33. Those are the types of bids I can get behind. There's Kembrell Hopkins for $20, Jarius Wright for $10, Blair Walsh for $10. See, those are the types of bids that you can afford to continue to make throughout the season. I just hate to see people wasting their wad so early. Kembrell Tompkins in League 9 for $111. Joyke Bell for $75. So Ed Dixon for $25. Again, we're seeing the common thread tonight of all these leagues, these 12 leagues that we're going through tonight. It looks like Kembrell Tompkins, Ed Dixon, and where available, Golden Tate. In League 10, Golden Tate goes for $221. Ed Dixon for $127, Mike.
Well, like
Kembrell Tompkins.
You know, it boils down to a lot of those guys that are, quote, wasting their money. They're probably not, because maybe they didn't draft so well at the beginning. So, I mean, there's no fault of that. I mean, what they're basically doing, I hope, is saying, look, man, I got to spend some money on the front end, get me somebody, and then they might not have to spend another dollar until down the road. So it just depends on the team makeup, I guess you could say. Team makeup.
Yeah. League 11, Golden Tate, 162. Ed Dixon for 100. Kembrell Tompkins for 50. And rounding out the final league of 12 in the Dynasty World Championship, Ed Dixon for 67, Edelman for 55, Kembrell Tompkins for 50, Josh Boyce for 33. So there you have it. That's the first round of waivers in the Dynasty Football World Championship, Mike. Back to the news and rumors. We've got 4 minutes left to go. We've got the Seahawks signing early Doucette. A little too early to know what that is. I'm really intrigued by the news that Sam Bradford and Jared Cook have connected endlessly in camp. And look, this is a make-or-break year for Sam Bradford. This is the first year they've surrounded him with real weapons. It'll be interesting to see what type of chemistry they can develop. Jared Cook, we have ranked right now as the number 8 tight end in the league. Do you think that's too high, Mike?
No. As a matter of fact, it's a make-or-break year for Jared Cook, in my opinion, because he's been, you know, the last couple of years, it's been Jared Cook. It's Sam Bradford, Jared Cook, and I don't think that's too high. I mean, this is it for him. It's it for, and this is it for Sam Bradford.
Code Crackers in the chat room. Welcome, my brother. 49ers at Austin Colley. Mike, Austin Colley coming back after the concussion issues and the ruptured patella. Concussion Colley, that's right. He worked out, and look, they were going to go without Michael Crabtree all year. Any fantasy value at all in Austin Colley?
I have none. I'm not going to take anything, but you never know.
No. I will tell you that in the FF Toolbox Preseason Pro, we are accumulating some of the best high-stakes players on the planet to give us advice, Mike, because I think we all take for granted the fact that we have them on speed dial. Some of us here, we can text them up on lineup day and get an answer from them, but a lot of people around the country can't do that. What we've done at FF Toolbox is assembled some of these guys, put them together, and gals, Kimmer Schlesher's in this as well, and giving them a platform to put their picks up on the world to see. You're going to be very surprised by some of the sleepers, the busts, the breakouts, the comebacks, and the stashing cash, the 20th round picks, by some of the best high-stakes pros. So, Mike, that package is coming out for an affordable price of $5. We don't want you spending your last dollar. We just want you to give those guys a little bit of value for what they do. It's a very affordable price, and I think everybody that plays fantasy should grab it.
Yeah, hell, that's nothing. $5, what the heck? Might as well do
it. All right. Look for details on the Mock Draft World Championship. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.
Good show, Mikey.